And one thing that marked out Samuel was the fellow had so much of the power of God that nothing that Samuel ever said, all right, refused to come to pass. Nothing. Everything Samuel would say will happen. Everybody understood that about Samuel. And that's what God wants to produce through all of us, his children. Let me say something to you again. As I'm declaring these words, please, I'm not asking you to reason. What are you supposed to just do? Amen. Just agree with it. But Pastor, me, I'm never planning to marry yet. Don't worry about it. Just say amen. And one day, wife will just come. I used to make a joke. Some people are just there's some brother saying that don't worry. Just come. We will have dressed up a bride for you. Just stand there. I won't say, do you? He will say, you do take this woman. There is do you. There is you do. But God will arrange your life, all right? Everything that is necessary to bring his plan to your in your life to pass, they will just happen to you. That's what he's going to do. Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
So as this word is coming forth, please just be saying amen in your heart. Just be agreeing with it. Your life will rearrange to bring these things to pass, okay? So that's how it is. God will do something that every single one of your offsprings, all right, will be Samuels in their own right, whether it's a male or a female. Now, so we know this as children of God, but our teaching this season is, like I said, people want good for their children, all right? But how would they go about it? And that's what I'm trying to say. I've noticed a lot of things. One of the things that's very, very common, all right, which is what we are trying to explain. I've said many times, people shouldn't do it. I just want to talk about what they should do. Your wife is pregnant. You use every opportunity, all right, to go and have her deliver in America. There are two countries we go for to go and deliver. It's usually UK and United States. And listen, you can have your children anywhere. I really don't care. It's okay to have your children anywhere. You can have your children in Botswana. You can have them in Malawi. You can have them in Australia. You can have them in Ireland. You can have them in North America. You can have them in South America. You can go to World Cup and deliver on the pitch. I don't care. It's Brazil. All right? That one doesn't concern me. But please, I give you a commandment from God. Don't ever think that helps that child in future. Wipe that nonsense away from your head if you're a Christian. I called it nonsense. That word nonsense was calculatedly thought about. I ensured that I knew what I was saying. I chose the word with clear eyes. It is absolute nonsense. America is a good place. I have lovely friends there. It's a beautiful place, really. I think you should go there one day too and just go and look, all right? And you can come after 1 week. It's nice. But it does not hold any future for any child just because he or she was born there today. I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. So, if it's like, I mean, I told you once when my wife was pregnant and she was going to have, I think it was Akinlu. Anyway, those early days, one day her mother, because her elder sister lives in UK, and I think she's a UK citizen. So, she said her mother asked her that, told her that whether she would go and deliver in UK. So, my wife says simply that, and she told me, I said, oh, to be that, now listen, this is what I'm telling you about that. She told her mother, before she told me about it, that it should be a nice idea. Can I ask a simple question? How long will I stay before I come back, after I don't bump again? And they told her like 2 to 3 months. She said, what? So you are trying to tell me my husband will not see his child for 2 to 3 months. She just said, I better forget about it. You know? And her mother said to her, you people, that's you people being she and me, that you people are very strange people. These are things that people will go into feet for. Some people are sowing seed for it right now. You know now, this was offered on a platter of gold. And if my mother-in-law makes that kind of offer, she was not expecting that I will pay the ticket. I don't know what I get my point. All I will have to do is just give my wife some money to put in her pocket, and that's it. Somebody else will pay the ticket. Somebody else will pay the hospital bills. Somebody else will take care of it. I'm just supposed to just settle down and say, okay, yeah, you don't burn, you know, that kind of thing. And I knew that, and my wife knew that. And when they just look, say, I will not stay there for 2 months or 3 months before I start coming back home. She just said, forget about it. Why did she say like that? It is simply because she understands what I'm teaching now, that it means nothing. What did I say? It means nothing. It means nothing. I'm a Christian. My faith tells me that it means nothing. It means nothing. Why people do those things that they want their children to do, where they think they are securing the future of their children. I'm telling you, as a child of God now, forget about it. It means nothing. That does not guarantee anything for your child. You don't know what those countries will be like by the time your child is growing up. Let's not even talk statistics now. Let's just talk the word of God. Otherwise, we'll have started telling you that there are men. Look, I told you the first time I went to America, it surprised me. You know, I saw a queue of people in the morning. I said, I thought they were coming for maybe what do you call it? NSCDC interview. A long queue of human beings. What's the last one that killed people in stadium all over Nigeria? Immigration. I thought it was something like that. So my brother-in-law was driving me to work that morning. So I said, look, what are they doing here? He looked at me. He said, they are homeless people. They came to collect free breakfast. Oh, it's true. Some people are kind of poor in this place. All right. The one that knocked me out when I saw a woman carrying two bags, you know, stuffed bags, you know, Ghana must go kind of things, and was laughing on the road and was stark naked. This was in Houston, Texas. That I was alone that day. My brother-in-law had gone, so I had to drive myself to my park and ride where I used to ride to the hospital where I was working. I you know, I had to clean my eyes, say, bros, you don't reach Nigeria. Which the apple for you? Surprised. That one surprised. Nothing else surprised me. Nothing else surprised. The one that pained me, many things surprised me. You know, so most things surprised. The one that pained me was when a white woman walked up to me to beg for money. I didn't realize she was begging. Ahodashan Kulala, big one. Just for bragging right to nothing more. I would have given her money that would make her remember my black face. But I didn't know. I thought she was literally asking for change. She said, excuse me, sir, you wouldn't happen to have some change? So, you know, the bus we used to ride, you know. The bus we used to ride, I buy the bus ticket, so it lasted me a whole month. So, you know, but it's written there clearly. If you enter the place, each ride was $3.50. And you had to pay exactly $3.50. There was no human being to collect. You know the way people they behave. As you enter like that, you slot your money into a machine which collects it. Don't give it paper. It will know. It will throw it back for you. You just slot your money inside. And then you say exact. So I thought, and I was waiting for the bus. So I thought she wanted to ride the same bus. She was trying to break her money into change. And I didn't have. I didn't used to go around with change. I used to use a card. So I said, oh, no, sorry. It was when I entered, I realized, Jesus, opportunity lost. Oh, for dash and serious money. And I'll call my wife and say, I dash it wet. Now, of course, this is not new. We all know these things. There are poor people everywhere. Amongst educated people, this is my assessment, I may be wrong, the proportion of poor people is the same all over the world. Amongst those who are enlightened. If you want to count total number, you want to count villagers and all of that, you can have that issue. But count those who are enlightened. About the same proportion. Jobless people fool America, we go to school. Last time my wife and I traveled, we went to eat in the evening. One guy was speaking big English to my friend. He said, you a Christian? I said, the glory of God all over you. I said, Chooks, they greet you. The black forget that. Hey. And then when we were driving away, now the wife said, look, because I was my wife, my friend was his wife. He said, are you sure that man has eaten? We had to go and turn. I went back in there. So, sir, you were talking to me. Yeah, the guy now brought out plenty of story, just like here in Nigeria. Story. Say, nah, he hasn't eaten. So my friend dipped his hand in the pocket and gave the man money. And the guy said, oh, the Lord brought you back. Yes. I said, Chooks, the Lord brought you back. When bros never show for night, the Lord had to bring you back. To give him money. Now, I just end this is just stories. We know it. All people are everywhere. You're born in a particular country, does not guarantee you anything. Are you getting my point? It doesn't guarantee you anything. It doesn't guarantee you anything. You know, once, let me not bore you with stories. My friend, let me just say this one. My friend took something the other day. There's a woman that saw my wife on the plane. White woman. She was just saying that, you know, and we had the rule, dressed African all the time, you know. So, anywhere from somewhere far. And my wife used to wear some colorful clothes. I used to trip white people all the time. So the woman picked the conversation with my wife. Okay, where are you from? From Nigeria. Okay, where have you been? The U.S. So we didn't know. My wife just said, okay, when I came, went to Houston from New York. Then I went to Virginia. I think I was in Houston. And we were going to Atlanta. You know, just talking there. So we're not telling Chuck that. Chuck said, hey, just oppress that woman. So wait, he said, you think they can travel like that? Say, so people like you that will be jumping from one place to the other. I said, do you know the cost of traveling? Say, so most of them never come up for one state. They were born there. You know, we didn't think, you know, just two women talking. It was a middle-aged to elderly white woman talking to my wife on the plane. Yes, talking at the airport, boarding the flight. So just said that, look, that they are just oppressing that woman. They're telling her, you went here, New York, Virginia, this one, finally now you're in Atlanta, in the Houston, you're going to Atlanta. Hey, the woman never traveled that kind of travel. According to Chuk's my friend in Houston, he said, they can't afford it. Thing is too costly. So don't sit down here, think that life is, there are many people that can't speak good English. That's not a joke. And as at last year, Nigerians were declared the most educated set of people that live in America. More educated than the white people that live there. Yes. I still have the, if you want, I can forward you the link. Read it. It was not done by Nigeria, it was done by Houston Chronicles, an American newspaper. So don't get it into your head that you're giving your children any special advantage. All my friends that I know there, they were born here. Alright, so let's just wipe those things out of our brains. Because as people go through a lot of stress, people don't have money, they will be selling cars, mortgaging houses, because Madame Gebele. Why? Madame was born in America. I assume I'm talking to reasonable people, not clowns. You know, there are some women clowns. Just want to show their friend, hey, I'm just going to deliver. Just want to talk about it. It increase. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not talking to you. There are people who are not mature enough to know some things. Are you getting my point? Yes, I'm not talking about those people. I'm not talking to those people at all. You know, some people who are not mature enough to know that you don't have to brag about things. Hey, where did you go to shop for your baby? I went to America to shop for my baby. Listen, I told you the story of one woman. I won't mention the name because these messages go to many places. All right? Prominent Nigerian woman who used to, man, whose wife used to travel to go and buy cosmetics in Paris. One day when I went to New York, my friend Chuck said, come, let me tell you, take you to the shop where the daughter works as a clerk. They don't have money anymore. As a bloody low, that is minimum wage earner as a clerk in the shop. Let's get this thing clear. We are Christians, so we're not jokers. I'm talking to people who are actually, they actually mean well. They are doing these things because they feel, all right, that this is the future for their children. I'm just saying to them, they are mistaken. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you are mistaken. That's what I started by saying that, look, that one that my wife and my mother, the conversation they were having, why I told this is that if it was like, okay, you'll be back in 2 weeks, my wife said, well, I've been a good opportunity to trip. You understand my point? Yeah, just let me just go and see. At that time, she had never been to the UK. She said, okay, let me just go and see what the place looks like. It would have been a nice time. I visited my sister. You understand what I'm saying? But when it was more than that, you know, it was costing too much in emotional matters. I said, no, it's not. No. I just won't go look before. It was like the first time American Visa Lottery came out. I was amongst the first Nigerians that I ever heard of U.S. Visa Lottery. A friend of mine, a lecturer at the University of Ibadan, came and told me about it. I said, I never heard of it. He said, okay, so we walked to USIS, United States Information Service, in Lagos there, and went there to ask them about it, and they did not know about it. At least the workers were able to see. We tried to explain. They had no idea. This Visa Lottery that has now closed, as far as Nigeria is concerned, no, it has closed for Nigerians now. Yeah, it closed last year. They have taken enough Nigerians. So it's open to some other countries, but Nigerians can't apply anymore. That one ended last year, all right? The first time we heard about it, my friends and I, we played it, the first one. But what happened was that after we submitted our applications, they now said that it's an immigrant visa. Once you win, you have to travel. I said, forget. I know they do it again. Because to go to you, I have to go to the embassy, you know, apply for visa and all of that. But good enough, they now say they use Dropbox. I say, praise God. All right? Because those of us who live in Enugu, everything, na journey. You go to Abuja to go, you journey. So they said they cannot courier it to them. I said, praise God. All right? But then, I just wanted to avoid those kind of things. I said, okay, if I can, if they are going to give it to me. Then I said, no, it's an immigrant visa. What they actually give you is just visa to come. And when you get there, they process and give you residency permit. I said, I'm not good anywhere. I refuse. I said, I don't play again. So all the many years they did it in until last year, I just carried my eye come out. Now, why I told that story is that I'm not saying it's bad. But you must understand what it is that you are trying to achieve. That's what I'm going to emphasize. As Christians, there are things that guarantee the future of your children, and that's not one of them. If it's like, oh, I like American gynecologists and I'm rich enough to afford them, no problem. I mean, no big deal. You can, like I said, you can go to Brazil and deliver on the football pitch if you like it. But what I'm just trying to say is that beyond those things, please, please, don't even think about the fact that this is future that you are planning for your children. A lot of times you are causing them confusion. And that is a matter of fact. I went somewhere the other day to go and preach, and a woman asked to speak with me. And it's a place where everybody is wealthy just because of the kind of work that they do. When you're talking average Nigerian terms today, they are very well to do. So normal to go travel. In fact, the kind of thing you hear is that the whole family is going on holiday. Where are they going? You know, in South Africa, Dubai, Spain, you know, those kind of things. That's the kind of, and that's the average household. It's not as if the rich people there, everybody. So this woman was pregnant, about to deliver. She was telling me that she wants to go and deliver her brother. Her husband said no. Obviously, money is not the problem. The husband said they have a cousin, all right, that was born abroad. Then one day, he went back abroad. Then one day, he took a rope and hung himself and killed himself. And the man is convinced it is because he was born abroad. That is, if he was in Nigeria, Nigerians don't do things like this. So, this man could afford it, but he told the woman, flat, he ain't going anywhere. So the woman was not talking to me, like, madam, what do you want me to say? Your husband said you're not going anywhere now. Don't worry. If it is doctor you're looking for, don't worry. Good American quality gynecologist, full Nigeria, complete. They're all over the place. I'm not exaggerating. There's nothing you are going to get when it comes to having children that they won't give you in Lagos and Abuja. Nobody your money you won't spend. They will give it to you. Alright? So if it's just a matter of okay, let me just go and find, you can do anything. But please, my emphasis is that you want a future for your children, that is not it. It is as much an advantage as it is a disadvantage. And I'm not missing words about it, I mean that literally. It is as much an advantage as it is a disadvantage. In this world today, today's world, it tells us that it is not the man that has the birthright that's king, it's the man that has the cash. Yes, as of today. You can go to any country in this world right now if you have money. Canadians will welcome you instantly now. Just go there, buy a house. Americans will give you instant residency permit if you invest $1 million. Instant. No discussion. You come there, invest $1 million. Oh, guy, come on in. Come on in. I mean, you should have said this since. Oh, come on. You come with it. No Benjamins, no problem. Please, let's get these things clear. That's what I'm just trying to emphasize. What you want for your children, there is a spiritual way to go about it. That's why I read that scripture that says that enter through, you know, open for me the gates of God. The righteous will enter through that. So what are we discussing now? The gates of God. And we are doing the school of prayer because it is a matter of prayer. Yes. It's not just, when you are praying for your children, you pray, that is, look, you pray for their future, but then when you catch those children every time, that's why you should give your children prophetic names. Don't give them historical names. Yes, you know, my own natural name was prophetic. It was, historical. And calling means that my father was building a house when I was born. Why I'm still bearing it is because I've given it a spiritual one. Which means that, you know, so they say Bam Kole, which means, literally means help me build a house. So that was it. So the house is still there. I mean, you were there for my dad's funeral, right? You saw the house. That is the house. So, but by the time I was changing my name to pick up Daniel and Olushin onto me, you know, that's the name I bear now. I retained that one because it has a new meaning now. We are building the house of God, which is, all of us are lively stones, living stones, Bible says, which are being built up, you understand, as the house of God. So I see God telling me, bang, call it that is, you, build me a house. So you are sitting down here, I'm polishing you as a lively, a living stone in the house of God. So my name is now prophetic. It used to be historical. So I'm telling you, avoid historical names for your own children. Use prophetic names. Let the name be saying something about their destiny. My first son, his name literally means the Lord's warrior. So in life, anything he's doing is not just to feel happy, it's to destroy and then build. You overthrow before you plant. So as you are moving on in life, you watch out for everywhere Satan is operating. You destroy and then plant a kingdom for God there. My second son's name means the Lord. In fact, his name and mine, if you read my tract, Daniel, that was the name I gave him. I gave him the Hebrew Daniel, then gave him the Yoruba equivalent of it. These names are prophetic. My daughter bears the name Deborah because she said, you'll be a minister of the gospel too. And my smallest boy, I love his name. His name is Victory. One day they ask him here, what's your name? He said, Victory. As victory. And it's short. That's a short form for victory over death, the devil, all the works of sickness, and all the works of the devil. So when you say victory, it's short. The full name, you can't write it on one line. The full name, you can't write it on one line. So shorten it to victory. When you're beginning to plan your children's destiny, start with their name. Start with their name. Give them a name that shows that God is working in their lives. A name that shows that God is working in their lives. Not just a name that your grandmother loves. You know, my grandmother was very fond of my wife when she was pregnant, so we named her after my grandmother. It's good. Children are allowed to have like 6 names. So one for your grandmother. Praise God for that. But look for the one that is prophetic to label the boy, the girl with it properly. Use any language you like, but when you are pronouncing it, make sure that it's a prophetic meaning that is in your mind. You can use any language. If your native tongue, speak Hebrew, you know, which many of us Christians do, we speak a lot of Hebrew. Yeah, my Daniel, my son bears the name. It's a Hebrew word, which means it's Daniel. El, therefore, God. Dan is judge. Daniel means God, my judge. Read my tract, Daniel. I explained the meaning there. So you can use Greek, if you like Greek. If you like Swahili, no hala. If it's English, good. Your native tongue, better. Whatever it is, when you are speaking that young man's name, let it be a prophetic name. That's where the destiny begins. That's where everybody that God meets. All right? Say, what is your name? You tell him one. He said, that one is not good. Let me give you another one. What's your name? Jacob. What does that mean? Supplanter. It's historical. Let me give you a prophetic one. Israel. Power with God. Strength of God. That's a good name. Use that one. What's your name? Cephas. That's historical. It means what? Pebble. Let me give you a real name. Something more solid. I'll give you Petra. You like that? Yes, sir. Are you getting my point? I mean, God meets people. In fact, I'm persuaded. The Bible didn't give all the details. There was one man, his name was Jabez. Why was his name Jabez? His historical name. Why? When he was born that time, the mother was suffer. The woman pushed for 3 days. Then her leg didn't work for 1 week. And then he said, when they born, he just said Jabez. Nonsense name. How can you have a name? You know, some people, they try, sha. Look, I'm not one of those. No, I'm one of those. Did I say I'm not one of those? Some people tell you that it doesn't matter the name, but it matters though. How can I be going on the road? Naba, come. You know the man of meaning of world, Naba. Even in wife, no. Now you go meet David. He say his name is Naba. What does Naba mean? Foolishness. He said, therefore, folly is with him. That was how Abigail delivered the crazy man. The guy behaved so badly. His wife had to explain to David, please, sir, please, sir. Don't you know his name? Who are you expecting? You're going on the road. Says, well, come. What kind of name is that? That's Yoruba for a dull person. And you're going on the road and say, not bad. And you tell me it doesn't matter. You try. If it doesn't matter to you, it matters to me. And you are calling me. You should be telling me something. God met a man. He said his name is even good. He was even good. Exalted father, Abraham. And God said, that one is not good enough. Some of you need to improve your name. He said, from now, your name will be Abraham. I was listening to Derek Prince. He said in Hebrew that sound normally is part of the importance of the words. Like he breathed into him, all right, the breath of life. He said the name was something, Pah! He said, so breath is not just, I think they say breath, it is cool. He said the Hebrew man has to put the Pah! Inside it so that he Pah! Into him the breath of life. So you know, say, now force, now gosa. He said it was explosive. The same man, I believe God said, Abraham. What does that mean? Not just exalted father, but the father of many nations. It was a loud name. Historical names and prophetic names. Start with your children. Give them prophetic names. Name that's telling them where they are going. Not the name that's pleasing the family. It's name that's telling them where they are going. What they will do on this earth. So that every time you call the person, you are adding a dose of prophetic unction into his life, into her life. Listen, our machinations as Christians are spiritual. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Don't use normal. Look, for people are saving up money. Do you know, I've told about prayer. People use fasting for nonsense. You use fasting to be attacking the devil. If you use fasting to attack the devil, you are going to be weak and the day battle starts. You don't believe me? I can prove it to you from scriptures. Jesus, yes, the Satan waited for a long time. When the 40 days was going on, Jesus was not hungry, you know that. Afterwards, he became hungry. That's when Satan jumped in, said, good, the guy is hungry. Are you not hungry? Yes. That is, he knew when in the midst of his hunger, that was when the man was most vulnerable. Go and read the story. After David done work, Ahithophel told Absalom, this man is tired. It is time to catch him. On to fast into attacking the devil. It's a disadvantage. When you want to pray against the devil, take a meal. I'm not joking. I know a lot of Christians don't like me when I say it. I mean it. Eat small thing, you know. Wait for 30 minutes. Let this digest. So he said, yeah, what were you talking about just now? The guy said, they come. You run away white till you are hungry again. What do you use fasting for? That's what I'm trying to explain. It's not to fight the devil. Come on, forget that one. When you want to fast, let it be that, look, you're pregnant, your wife is pregnant, your child is going to be born. You start saying, what kind of child is this? That's why you take a few days off to meditate and prophet. You understand? Then a name comes to your spirit and God begins to give you revelation. That's the way he wants to do it. And you give the child a name that guides his destiny. Don't give you a name. If your father gave you a name you don't like, next week, and change it. Just bear a name. You know, some people bear names of days. You know, that historically, you were born on Monday, so your name is Okafor. Is that not how they read it? Just name you after market day. I wonder you are still a slave. Being traded. Unless you are a merchant. You understand my point? You have to, look, listen, investigate, look, from now, think, when they are calling you, what is resounding? My name must be prophetic. I will have changed my bank calling name. Do you want everybody choosing for banking for me now? I'll have changed it. It's just that I had the prophetic way of rearranging the meaning. It was initially a historical name. My father was building a house. So? I chose a name that has meaning. Daniel. And I said that bank calling means we are going to build God's house. So everything that I do is about building lively stones, living stones, all right, in the house of God. And the living stones are people like me, you, my wife, everybody listening to me, we are the living stones. Please, you follow my point? When God met Jabez, that's what I was talking about. Jabez's name was Son of Sorrow. As they are going on the road, wala boy, how now? It's a useless name. Shouldn't be a nonsense name. And the guy went and prayed. And this is what I was saying, that even though it's not written in black and white, but I'm persuaded, he didn't bear that name after that day. It's just God's character. He didn't bear that name after that day. Can't be Son of Sorrow and you'll be prospering. No. Your name will now be Son of Consolation, Barnabas. You get my point? Yes. No, some names we don't like. They are good names in the Bible. Barnabas. And when everybody is confused, bring Barnabas. What is Charles? What does it mean? As Christians, we are going to sit down one day and decide what we are giving human beings and what we are giving dogs. And you buy bingo. You buy, and then you give your bingo. Can you, you know, some names may not sound. Look, if your name has a good meaning, you use your name. Are you getting my point? Use that one. Use that one. Use it. But we're talking about your children and not you. So let the name you give your children be prophetic. It doesn't have to rhyme. Looking for names that sound sweet. This life doesn't understand all these nice things. So it wants dangerous spirits. You understand what I'm saying? Let the name carry a dangerous spirit. Names like devil don't die, you know. Anybody comes, all they say that they will miss. When they want to do evangelism in thick forest, now they go bring. The boy will have an apostolic anointing. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Listen, our time is up, all right? But that's the foundation, all right? That's what I'm trying to explain to us. That's what we're beginning to discuss today, all right? How to really set these our children up for greatness tomorrow. And we are using the spiritual method. We're not using human method. Later on, we'll read the scripture, okay? I wanted to really start today with it, but we'll thank God for the way the thing went. But this issue of who was born where, who I mentioned it last time. This one was born there. If I mention America, you say, ah, this guy is a citizen. God said, no. What is happening is that God, when he's marking people, what he wants to know is, where was this one born? Is it a son? Is it a daughter of Zion? And that is what's most important. If your child is in reality, both by being a believer and being somebody that is carrying the anointing of God over his or her life, in those regards, the child of Zion. That is the person that victory, that in heaven will be defending him. You know, Americans will send soldiers to go and rescue an American citizen. Heaven will send angels to come and rescue the citizen of heaven. We should be more interested in making sure that these children are citizens of heaven. And that people don't care. And we'll talk about it later. When I see people make decisions, I want to send your child to a place where you know he's more likely to turn out as a son of Satan. Naturally speaking. But because you think good roads, constant water supply, no strike in the university and the hospital, you think it's more important than a young man learning righteousness. Oh, let us stop. Let us go home. I hope you are blessed today. Yes, let's just give the Lord and just say, Lord, we thank you. Let's just close now. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Let's rise to our feet as we do that so that we can share the grace and be out of here. No need to stay so late. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Just bless his name, bless his name. Just declare, say, just say this after me, because we're talking about you. Say, my seed will be mighty on the earth because I have the righteousness of faith. Say it again, my seed will be mighty on this earth because I'm a citizen of Zion. Say it, my seed will be mighty on this earth because the power of God is working in them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Just thank the Lord again. Thank God because you have been delivered. Thank God that you have a new name. There's a name that God calls you in heaven. And I want to pray a prayer. I say, Lord, give me a revelation of that name. This is why sometimes like Christians change their names, not just to be funky. So give me a revelation. As you are praying, they say, Lord, this man mean, what does it mean? Do you like what I'm bearing? Lord, do you have a new name for me? Pray that prayer. Take some days off. Because when God met Saul, his name changed to Paul. When God met Peter, his name used to be Cephas. Jesus gave him a new name, Peter. When he met Abraham, he changed his name to Abraham. When he met Jabez, he gave him a new experience, and I'm persuaded, and a new name. For everything you call yourself is prophetic. What does your name mean to you? Just give him thanks. Father, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death, we have passed into life, we have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ, we have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above in Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ.